It's Bullseye on the Afternoon with Andy Bull Barch and Matt Douglas on AM 930 WEOL.
Minutes after 5 o'clock, Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. He's Matt Douglas. I'm Andy Bull Barch, and you have us for about another hour and 20 minutes before we send you on down to Progressive Field for Indians baseball. Tonight, the Tribe taking on the Seattle Mariners. It all begins at 6:35 with Indians warm-up. Jim Rosenhaus and Tom Hamilton will have the call for you. 7:10, they will deliver that first pitch in downtown Cleveland tonight. Time for us to head to the hotline as we bring in our very next guest, a Cleveland Browns legend and a guy that will be headlining the Lake Erie Crushers Cleveland Sports Legend softball game on June 29th. Former Browns running back Ernest Biner joins us on the hotline right now. Ernest, thank you so much for the time today. How are you?
Back on the road.
I'm good, and how are you all doing?
Oh, so far so good. I mean, you were telling me off air you actually just left Cleveland, so you know how great and gloomy it is up here right now. But that's all right. Better days are ahead. It's May 3rd. Hopefully we'll get a break of the weather here soon. But you've been awfully busy. And, you know, as you and I were discussing off air, I realized that, you know, last year one of your former teammates, Kevin Mack, actually played in this softball game. So did he give you any tips?
No, man, you know K-Mac, he's not going to help me out. He wants me to struggle like he did. But, you know, as a matter of fact, he spoke about the event, man, and said how good a time he had, you know, how much he appreciated the, you know, the things that, you know, Lady on the Wayside is doing. And also the excitement about getting back out and actually trying to compete a little bit.
It's a lot of fun. I think you'll really enjoy it, and we'll bring the conversation back around to softball a little bit later on.
Yeah.
But, you know, for those, Ernest, who haven't had the chance to follow you as much since you retired, what kinds of things have you been doing since retirement?
Well, I've been doing some combine work with IMG, working with players, running backs, try to help them get ready for the NFL, get ready for the combine, but also the NFL. I have my nonprofit, which is called the Healing Dogs. Been doing some things through that. You know, we work with the juvenile. We work with the veterans, military veterans, and also the homeless. So we've been, doing some events, with that. Actually, I'm a national spokesperson for the veterans. So I've been doing some events with them in conjunction with them, speaking at different events that they have. So, and also I've been keeping up with the Browns. I mean, I've been, watching what they're doing. I either agree or disagree with some of the things that I see that's going on with the team. And I let people know, via Twitter, Facebook, I stay in contact with Browns fans. I mean, that's the fan base that has really been behind me, steady, showed me a lot of love, and I like to show the love back to them, but also support the team as well.
Well, and I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that you are also an author as well. You've penned at least one book, correct?
I did. Excuse me. I have a book called Everybody Fumbles. And it's a book about development. It starts off and, we talk about the fumble and talk about the Super Bowl and talk about, the things that that help me to develop, but also help other people develop through the different stories that I have in there. Some of them are empirical. Some of them I've lived through, but also some that I have watched and saw how other people have gone through different aspects of their life of healing and also of spreading love. So that's what the book is that particular book is about.
Cleveland Browns legend Ernest Biner joining us here on the hotline. He's participating in the Cleveland Sports Legend softball game hosted by the Lake Erie Crushers on June 29th. Well, Ernest, as we look back at your entire NFL career, but more specifically your Cleveland Browns career, what are some of your fondest memories on the field on your time with the Browns?
Well, But I can tell you this, the practices that we had in training camp, my rookie year, Eddie Johnson was the guy that I had to go up against because I played fullback and running back. A lot of people don't realize that, but I actually almost broke in as a blocker more than a runner. And Eddie was, I mean, we were so competitive. Eddie was so competitive, talking junk to me. But the thing that happened between Eddie and I and all, you know, most of the other guys, Lange, Webb, Brian Brennan, K-Mac, Bernie, you know, Don Rogers, when we initially got there, was a development of caring for each other. And that still goes on today. So one of my favorite memories is definitely the competition that we had, but even more so the type of love and appreciation and also support that we had for each other, both on and off the field. So, you know, obviously, you know, going to the Super Bowl was one of the highlights for me. But in reality, those relationships with those guys is actually one of the main things that energized me, but also kept things going in a lot of ways.
Ernest, you talk about coming in your rookie year. The Browns right now are holding their rookie mini camp. For the guys who are kind of going through that process, and you've been a coach a number of years in the NFL, played a number of years in the NFL, what is it they're doing kind of right now at camp? Is it about trying to build that camaraderie with these guys and get them to set that tone early?
Absolutely. It's obviously a process, you know, to get it to where guys are – have that type of relationship, but you try to get that started initially by having these guys go into the competitive atmosphere and first of all compete within themselves, but then also compete within the groups that they're in. So you know when you have guys that are pushing each other, even in the in the running back room, linebacker room, D line, quarterback room, we have people that are pushing and supporting each other, you know, but going through that process, I think, you know, that's one, you know, some of the things that really help the team develop into winners and having that winning mentality and also being able to kind of stick and stay as well.
Ernest, you talked about how you've really kind of, over the last few years here, you've been very, very closely tied in with a lot of the kids coming out of college and trying to make that transition into the NFL. You know, I think we see the results on the field, and certainly it's been well documented just how much work the guys put in order to be successful on the field. But off the field, as you talk to a lot of these guys, you know, what would you say are some of the biggest challenges or the biggest hurdles for these guys to adapt to going from the college game to the pro game?
You know, I think, you know, one of the things that happens is you have so much structure in college. You got schoolwork that you have to do, and you also, you know, you're trying to develop yourself into the best player that you can be. I think, you know, some of the key aspects of development is always trying to get better every single day, every single play, every single opportunity that you have to work on your craft, but also developing yourself personally, you know, because, you know, the development process, you know, and this is one of the other things I would always say, the better the person, both, on, you know, off the field, the better the football player that you'll have on the field. If you got good people on your team, they're going to care about, you know, first and foremost, care about their personal development, but they're also going to care about the development of the other guys that are around them, but also get out and get into the community. And I think, you know, that's something that really drives and can motivate and can keep everything going, but also make sure that you develop it in all aspects of your life. Those are, and I think the last part of that is not having that additional structure off the field by, you know, not having the classroom work, you know, or not having someone telling you that you need to be here at this point, being able to handle that time difference or that freedom, that freedom that you have is one of the main things that rookies go through, but also guys that, have been in the league for, you know, for a while. Having something off the field that that helps them to continue that development, to show that you care about the community and you care about, you know, something bigger than you, is one of the things I believe that's a key cornerstone to personal development, but also winners, you know, as a team. So I think the Browns, they do a good job. You know, they got a couple of guys that do a couple of things that help people to focus on some of the things or find out what motivates them. And so, you know, they're doing a good job with, you know, bringing some good people in, but also, you know, making sure that these guys get out into the community and show the love or reciprocate the love that the fans have.
Ernest, when I hear you talk, I mean, there's life lessons, obviously, in what you're saying right there. And after your playing career, you got into coaching. Is that one of the reasons you kind of wanted to get into it, to help some of these younger guys out off the field as well as on the field?
That is one of the reasons. The main reason for me was that, I write about this in my book, is I had somewhat like an epiphany moment when I was probably about 7 or 8 years old. I was outside playing because I hung out with the guys, you know, because we were competing in the neighborhood, playing football and all that kind of stuff, baseball, softball. Matter of fact, I'm gonna try to have to go back to some of my memories to be able to swing that bat when the softball game comes up. But the reality was, I spent a lot of time by myself, and one particular day, I was outside alone, and I just, for some reason, stopped and looked up at the sun, and it was almost like, I heard a voice that said that you will coach. And from that day forward, I was actually doing everything that I could to become a coach. That's why I went to college, to become a coach. I didn't go to college to become a pro football player. I went to college to become a coach. And from that day, all that I saw was, you know, trying to help others to develop, but also I could see football from a coach's perspective, just because I believe some type of way my mind was open to that. So the other part of that is, you know, when you're coaching, you have to, guys don't care what you know until they know that you care. So being able to show guys that I cared about them, past them developing in their football game, actually helped with that connectivity, and also being able to pass on some of the life lessons, but also, and you know, for some of the other guys is probably as important, but being able to pass on some of the knowledge that I had accrued during my playing career.
Wow, very powerful stuff. Again, we're talking with Cleveland Browns legend Ernest Biner here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. You know, one of the interesting things about your career, Ernest, I mean, you really kind of experienced a lot of highs and lows, and I've always been intrigued by what goes through the mind of a player when he's traded. And you know, you got to go back to the 80s when the trade that involved you went down. You know, trades didn't happen a ton back then. They certainly happened,
yeah.
But I mean, really, I think from a fan's perspective, I don't think we really realize how much of a shifter that is to someone's life. I mean, can you give us an idea as to what that whole trade was like for you back in 1989?
Yeah, I can. And one of the things that happened to me, well, y'all, everybody know about the fumble and going through that process. And then the next year, we were in a playoff game, and I actually got a penalty late in the game that, you know, moved us out of field goal range where we could have tied or either won the game versus Houston. But because of the fumble and because of some of the ways that I was that people responded to me, it really kind of, you know, in a lot of ways, the natural love and the base reason that I played was because of that love got taken away. And I needed to really make a change, because I thought that if I didn't have a change to come, that I probably was going to quit football, and my career would have been six, 7 years shorter. But the point being is I needed the trade to actually rejuvenate that natural love that I had. So when I went when I went through it, because we heard about Odell and how he was shaken, right after the trade. And I understand that fully. I was actually on the golf course when I found out I was actually getting traded. Wow. And I could not finish the round. I walked off the golf course, to tell you the truth.
Wow.
And, because it's really, I've been with the Browns 5 years. You get settled, you get with teammates, and, you get with some familiar, things and surroundings. But in reality, man, when that happened, I was shaken. And after a couple of days, I, figured out, and it came to me, that I needed to look at this like I'm a rookie. I'm going into this situation like I'm a rookie. Even though I had played 5 years, I had hell of five, success, and also failure, I went into it as a rookie, with a rookie mindset, which really helped me to continue on that development process. But going through that, getting your life uprooted, moving the family, is something that I don't wish on anybody. But it's obviously a part of the game that has to be dealt with. But also you have got some other people. You have to have some other people that you can depend on and that can maybe paint a different picture for you when things like that do happen.
Well, and we talk about the highs and lows in your career. You went on to play in a Super Bowl, but not only playing it, you caught a touchdown pass in a Super Bowl. For those of us that will never be in a Super Bowl, can you give us an idea as to what it was like to be a part of that? From the day you guys touched on with the hype week, all that good stuff, and you've got the media day. What's that whole experience like?
Well, I can tell you this. That particular season, that almost that entire season was somewhat like a dream because, we started off, I think we won 10 straight, finally lost a game that we should have won to Houston, which basically kind of, to me, I think it rebalanced us because, we were just were on a roll. And to go through that loss, and then come back and then win a couple more, and then we lose the last one because we didn't play all our guys and all that kind of stuff. But then being able to go through that championship game, I was crying. A lot of people, I think they may have heard the story and maybe not. But I was actually crying during the whole NFC championship game. And the reason I was crying was because of a possibility that I could get to the Super Bowl and have some type of redemption, or just get to the big game. So when we got there, that was somewhat of a dream as well. Media day was kind of tough. Everybody, they still wanted to ask me about the fumble. And as a matter of fact, I had to threaten to cut the interview off if they wouldn't stop asking me about the fumble. So, but to the going through that week of practice. I mean, that week of practice was probably the hardest practices we had that year. And not because of the coaches, but because of the energy that the guys had, that we had about being prepared and preparing ourselves and how we were getting ready to play the Buffalo Bills, man. So, going through that process, winning the championship game for me was the biggest game. The Super Bowl was almost anticlimactic until I got the ball on the first play and Bruce Smith and all those defensive guys swallowed up my butt. And I was like, I jumped up and I said, man, we're in the Super Bowl. And then that's when it was just on, man. It was just something that really just kind of flowed for me. The game was good. I mean, I played at a high level, catching balls, pass blocking, run blocking. I mean, I was doing a little bit of all of it, and it was a pure thrill to put that hat on that said Super Bowl champion.
That's awesome stuff. Very, very awesome stuff. Well, It'll be a little bit of a different challenge on June 29th when you're participating in the Lake Erie Crushers Cleveland Sports Legends softball game. But, you know, it'll be a lot of fun. And you were telling us a little bit earlier that you're trying to get some tips from Kevin Mack, who played this game last year. How much softball have you played recently?
None. But I can tell you this. I mean, we used to play quite a bit when I was a kid because that was one of the neighborhood games. You know, I ended up playing baseball as well. But to tell you the truth, I swing the golf club right-handed. The batting is the only thing that I do left-handed. So now I got to find me a batting cage somewhere and at least get some swings in before we get up there. And, you know, so I don't quite embarrass myself, you know, but I'm looking forward to, you know, to a different, you know, to a little bit of a challenge, but also trying to do something special or help some people that are doing something special. And I'm talking about Ladies of the Wayside. They're doing a hell of a job, and I'm sorry for cursing, but they're doing an excellent job helping people to develop, helping people to heal, in almost a total way of life. You know, they whatever people need is where they try to meet them at. And I think you know, being able to be involved with them and bringing some attention to what they're doing is something that's special. But also, you know, being able to, you know, be involved in such a way that you know, other guys are coming. You know, Bob Golic is coming. I think we got a couple of baseball players that'll be there as well. I can't remember their names. I'm sorry for that. But, I mean, we got a special event that's coming up, and it's going to be fun. We're going to have autographs for the fans, you know, that if they want some VIP passes, they can get those. But in reality, man, this is something that's bigger than, you know, obviously bigger than us, and it's something that we can definitely get behind and support, but also have a lot of fun.
Well, we'll have a lot of fun. I'm playing in that game also, and I can certainly echo what you mentioned about Our Lady of the Wayside, a terrific charity, no question about that. And that's all part of the fun. It really is a really cool experience. And I can't believe, you golf right-handed, you hit left-handed. I hope you and I end up being on the same team, because if you're hitting left-handed, I usually end up playing in right field. And I've got all the confidence in the world that you can find a gap out there if I'm playing in right.
hey, that's my strength in batting is not power. I tell you that. My strength is actually placing the ball.
Okay.
And that's, matter of fact, my golf game is very, very similar. So I might try to hit one to you. How about that? You know?
Okay. Yeah.
I'd like to see that for sure, man.
Hopefully we end up on the same team. And you mentioned Bob Golic. Bob Golic, if I'm not mistaken, I think he threw at somebody. Oh, I'm not really sure. Throw more like lobbed it at somebody when he was pitching and he played in the game a couple of years ago. So if you end up being on the other team of Bob, the opposite team of Bob Golic, just be on the lookout for that also, because
he has a tendency to pitch inside.
he pitches inside if you crowd the plate. But Ernest, this is a lot of fun. Thank you so much for stopping by. We look forward to seeing you out there on June 29th. Hopefully you and I are wearing the same jersey out there also. It'll be a lot of fun. I promise you that.
Oh, I appreciate y'all, man, and appreciate the opportunity to come on and share some of the, you know, some of the great memories that I had both in Washington and Cleveland, but mostly about what we went through as far as the Browns and the development process. I mean, it's an honor to communicate with the fans again because they've shown me a lot of support, a lot of love, and that's been continual. And that's one of the things that really I'm most appreciative of, because they have some kind of way, found a way to love Ernest Bryant. And I really want them to know that I really appreciate all the things that they've done for me and that energy that they gave us when we were playing in the championship games.
Absolutely. I'm sure we'll feel that energy as well on June 29th. Ernest, we know you're busy, so we appreciate the time. Thank you again so much for joining us.
Absolutely. Y'all have a good day.
Thank you. Do the same. Ernest Biner, Cleveland Browns legend, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon.